You are listening to Kilometer Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift, the fitness app where fun is fast.
Domenico Pozzovivo, at 37 years of age, is trying to take the Giro d'Italia part. Who's going to be laughing at the end of the day, though? And it is brewing up, Brian, to be a very interesting day indeed, as the peloton, or what's left of it, comes over the top of one of Marco Pantani's favourite training climbs, the Barbotto.
I'm very happy to be back in the peloton, and also now improving my shape and be one more time in the fight. Well, I'm very close to be 100%. I think something always lacking, the left arm is not so stiff like the right, but my shape is very close to what I had before the accident.
That was Domenico Pozzovivo, who it seems strange to describe as one of the revelations of this Giro, but who at 37 has been riding as well as he's ever ridden. He's also been riding confidently. On a couple of stages, including Thursday's to Cesenatico, he ordered his NTT team to the front to ride hard and aggressively to try and set him up. It didn't work, but it was an impressive team performance, perhaps the best we've seen from this team for a few seasons. Africa's World Tour team has been around in one guise or another as MTN Quebeca, Dimension Data, and now NTT since 2007, becoming a continental team in 2008 and a Pro Conti team in 2013 when Gerald Cilek took their first major win at Milan-San Remo. A year later, they rode their first Grand Tour, the Vuelta a España. And a year after that, some big names joined, including Edvald Boasenhagen. With him on board, they won a wild card to the Tour de France and made a big impact. Daniel Tecklahaymenot spending 4 days in the King of the Mountains jersey, and Steve Cummings winning stage 14 on Mandela Day. In 2016, there was another influx of star names, including Mark Cavendish, and they had their best Tour de France, winning 5 stages, 4 for Cavendish and 1 for Cummings. They won 32 races that year, but since then, dogged by injuries, illness and bad luck, their fortunes have appeared to diminish. 25 wins in 2017, then just 7 in each of the past 3 seasons. On the eve of this Giro, NTT confirmed that they would not be renewing their sponsorship. It's a team whose African identity has always been central to it, with a core of African riders, 7 of the 29-man squad this year from Africa, and a mission to support the Quebeca charity, which distributes bikes throughout the continent. A change this year was that Bjarne Riis came in as team manager. Doug Ryder, who has run the team from the start, became team principal. His main job now is looking for a new sponsor. We'll hear from him later. First, let's hear from another rider who's at the Giro, Ben O'Connor, the Australian, who is still only 24 and a great stage racing prospect. He had a difficult start to the Giro, but is now riding well, and riding for his and his team's future. Ben, how are you doing? I mean, I've spoken to you at Grand Tours before. How's this one going for you so far?
I guess everyone's been different. First one was amazing. Second one was pretty average and stressful. Third one was terrible to start and then quite fun. And this has been a little bit disappointing now. Yesterday definitely wasn't a good day for me. Can't really figure it out because I know I have really good form. It's just like super disappointing. I don't really know what else to say. But Domenico went well and there's lots of other stages. And I think if we get a chance to go, then I know I could win a stage.
You know, there aren't the usual reference points, I suppose, in the build-up to this Grand Tour. There hasn't been a lot of racing. That sort of uncertainty around where exactly you are must be one of the difficult aspects about this season, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it depends what race you do. I mean, I copped Bartoli, and I do wish I did Tirreno. I think it would have been a more suitable choice pre-Giro, and also a little bit later, but it is how it is. I had a couple of health problems, so actually, to be honest, to be here now and be what I would actually consider as really good form was already hard enough to get to.
where were you during sort of lockdown, that period? Did you go back to Australia or were you here in Europe?
No, I was in Andorra. Actually, wasn't too bad. It was a bit frustrating not riding, but at least we could walk up in the mountains, and that was the saviour.
How did you find it from the point of view of keeping fitness and form, not knowing when you'd be racing again? Did you deal with that okay?
Well, I mean, you knew it was going to be a while, so you can't deny that you fully switched off and I definitely didn't do anything. I definitely still rode really hard, but I wouldn't say that my consumption or food was always top notch. So I think a lot of guys can probably say the same thing if they're honest.
And what's it like with the uncertainty around the team now as well? I mean, that must have come as a shock, I guess, on the eve of a Grand Tour.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? I mean, we're still here at the race. We're trying. I had high hopes. Not the best now, but Domenico has got some really good chances. So you can't really focus on it. Hopefully Doug can find something for this team. And if not, then I guess we all have to perform our best anyway to find a job elsewhere.
Is there a sense as well that you're sort of racing for your survival here as a team, that you know, anything you might be able to do here might help that hunt for a sponsor?
Yeah, you can't deny that any result is the reason why you race as a team and as a person. You wouldn't be an athlete if you don't desire that. And as a sponsor, they desire wins. What else are they here for? It's all good you being in a race, but if you're not showing yourself, then there's no point being there. So the best thing for us to do is to try and win something.
Do you feel that in the team, that I mean, we've seen before when teams have had this uncertainty around them, it almost galvanizes them. We saw it a few years ago with, I remember, I Am Cycling performed amazingly after they got the news about their team. Is there a sense of that in your team?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's happened. You can see it even just in general cycling life. Contract years for guys, they can do things in their contract year. It's on the line, you know. It's your job, it's your life. It'd be the same as in a business, and an accountant, or even a salesman. You have to push 500 cars, so you are going to push 500 cars no matter what. It's just the way things are.
And it's a bit different, this team, isn't it? It's always had a sort of different raison d'etre to other teams. It's been a big part in your cycling life as well. The prospect of it going must be quite a sad one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been in this team since 2017 as a Neopro, and it's been a really good 4 years. I don't know what I'm going to do for the future, but it's sad to see if it does stop, especially after all the effort that Doug's gone through. And with him also living over here now, was a clear sign that he wants to be in cycling. I think our staff group is also amazing. I think it's just a really jovial kind of atmosphere half the time. So it would be sad if that was to disband. And yeah, I just hope it continues no matter what I do or what anyone else does. I think it's sad anyway if you see a team fold.
At the same time as hoping it carries on, do you sort of keep your options open? I mean, are you know, speaking to other teams or having your agent speak to other teams?
I mean, for sure, I think everyone who can would be doing the same. But at the same time, you just need to focus on the race and try to get the best result, and then think about that when you have the spare time. It's hard to dwell on it, because otherwise, you know, a lot of guys, with the way cycling is right now, it's not the greatest atmosphere.
Doug Ryder, team principal, NTT Pro Cycling.
It was a bit of a surprise with NTT. We were working well together to try and find a replacement partner for Alcatel-Lucent Enterprise that had already announced earlier in the year that they wouldn't be able to continue just through the pandemic. It was a tough time for them, particularly as an organization. And so we were working together with NTT and, of course, as a team to try and find, you know, a second partner, you know, like 10 days ago now or 2 weeks ago now. And, you know, NTT made a call and said that they wouldn't continue. So that left us in, you know, I mean, they've been a great partner, but it left us obviously with limited time to, you know, to try and find a new title partner. And that's what we've been working really, really hard. I mean, we've been working hard pretty much the whole year, but it's been a crazy year. You know, you couldn't go and see people, and everybody was worried about, you know, could they exist and survive and get through this time as an organization, as organizations and as people. So it's like a perfect storm this year for us as a team and actually many sports teams and many businesses. So it hasn't been a good situation on all fronts. The contract was coming up for renewal. So at the end of 2020 was the end of our existing agreement. So we've been working pretty much the whole year and chatting to them. But of course, with the whole COVID-19 that happened and hit the world, I think, you know, obviously everything, all timelines moved out and focuses changed. You know, people had to, I guess, sit down and look at their organizations in more detail and understand, you know, where they were. And of course, some people, employees were getting laid off and deals needed to be done. And I think, yeah, at the end, it just came, you know, it was a decision that they didn't have to make. you know, they're still in cycling with the Tour de France, which is great. That's a great partnership and to improve the viewing experience of cycling to the fans. Yeah, sadly, you know, they decided at the last minute that they were not going to be able to continue with our team. It's been tough. I mean, everybody's got their, you know, kind of all hands on deck at the moment. Everybody in the organization, you know, is working incredibly hard just to get through this, you know, hectic racing schedule. 110 races in like 90 days when season 2.0 of 2020 restarted. So, you know, logistically, it was crazy. And then, of course, all the PCR testing was also, you know, really difficult to manage. So we had, you know, obviously everybody logistics focused on all of that. And then the honor in managing the team and trying to, you know, get everybody to the right level and stay positive and just working that side. And then, of course, I've been completely focused, 100% focused on, you know, on our partner ecosystem, on partners that have always shown an interest in our team. When we announced that, you know, that we were looking for a title partner, the amount of goodwill and people around the world that just connected with us and spoke to us on all social channels was just beautiful to see that a team like ours, you know, has a massive following and such goodwill because of its purpose and what it stands for, that, you know, gave me a huge amount of motivation, you know, that we've made such a difference and such an impact in the sport. And that has helped in many conversations. You know, we've got lots of interest from many partners and different companies, different organizations across multiple industries, which is beautiful to see. And we're hoping that, you know, that, you know, one or two of them are going to come through and keep us alive in 2021. Just logistics have become more expensive, fuel and flights and accommodation and food, and just from a operational costing of running a team has become more expensive. And, you know, you get more riders and you've got, you know, bigger programs, you know, you use races to prepare for other races. And, you know, the appearance money hasn't gone up, you know, in terms of the team's costs have gone up. So, you know, so those are the kind of things that, that have gone up. Yeah, it's just a difficult sport, I think, you know, in terms of its commercial model and the team's only earning revenue through sponsors and not in really any other way, which has always been challenging. And even though you create great campaigns and you try and, you know, do a lot of merchandising and create a lot of interest that way and a lot of hype that way. And I mean, we use that kind of money that we receive from partners and from fans around the world to fund the charity and to raise, you know, more money and make a bigger impact across South Africa and across Africa in terms of the mobility program and our Bicycles Change Lives campaigns. You know, we have been so good in that way that and have such strong partnerships there that has connected a lot of people with us, which is beautiful. But I mean, in the end, you know, the commercial model of cycling is 100% reliant at this stage still on funding that comes from your title partners and partners. Cycling is an incredibly good tool for your organization to get global awareness. You know, we are a team right now that races, you know, normally 280 days a year in 25 countries on 5 continents. And that's pretty significant. You know, there's not many sports properties that have that kind of work ethic and workload. And then, of course, you carry the brands of your partners loud and proud, you know, even though these guys are sometimes only 50, 60 kilos and they're kind of small, but on TV, they look like Goliath and giants. You know, they look amazing. And you know, and the brand awareness is significant. So from a return on investment, you know, it really is a worthwhile sport to, you know, absolutely to invest in, and more now so than ever that the bicycle has become a tool that everybody, every country, so many people, you know, want to be on top of, because it does talk to social distancing, gets your public transport, gets you out there, gets you fresher, builds your lung capacity, does all sorts of those amazing things. So I think the bicycle business in terms of people riding is going to grow, which then is going to bring more interest into the sport, which is going to give partners more return. So right now, I believe where the world is going, you know, the cycling business should be and will be booming in the next, you know, year to 2 to 3 years in the short term. Of course, you try and drive legacy and you don't have bricks and water. You know, our stadium is the open road. It's the mountain, you know, it's the flat roads in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it's that's the beautiful thing about our sport. It's everywhere and can be connected with people in everywhere. And that's lovely. But yes, it gives you, you know, massive returns as a title partner and as any partner. And then you can create amazing content around that and bring people in. It's one of the few sports where you can ride with a Nicholas Flamini and Edvard Boasenhagen on a weekend as a you and I, you know, and still feel, you know, that you can chat to these pros and that they are personal and you can have almost intimate relationships with them, actually, which is very rare to do in football and Formula One and, you know, in any other sports that, you know, that get a lot of sponsorship.
You are listening to Kilometer Zero by The Cycling Podcast, powered by Zwift. the fitness app that turns indoor riding into a game. Explore endless roads, race riders from all over the world, and boost your fitness with monthly training plans and structured workouts. Join the world's training playground where fun is fast. Go to Zwift.com and start your free trial.
Hi, my name's Lizzie Banks and I'm a professional cyclist.
And I'm Richard Moore of this parish. But Lizzie, aren't you forgetting something from your palmarès?
25th in Ronde van Drenthe 2019. I think that's what you're referring to, Richard.
Anything else?
Stage 8, Giro Rosa 2019. I won.
Ah, but something even bigger than that. Come on now.
Now, is it that I present Service Course or co-present Service Course, the cycling podcast's tech show?
That's it. You got there in the end. And it meant that during lockdown, we got together virtually, given that you're part of the cycling podcast family, to do a cycling podcast Zwift group ride, or the cappuccino ride, we called it, every Sunday morning.
Absolutely right. And that's quite a feat in itself, because it was a very select group of people, friends of the podcast only. And it was a great ride. We did it every Sunday morning during lockdown and got together. And, well, I had a really nice recovery ride.
Well, listen, I must say, it was a bit of a revelation to me. I hadn't done group rides before on Zwift, and the social aspect of it really took me by surprise. We hooked it up on Discord as well, so we could chat to each other, catch up. I apparently spoke a little bit too loud, and everybody on my street could hear me, but it was great fun. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And as I say, I'd never done it before lockdown.
Yeah, it was really fun. I hadn't done kind of social rides like that before on Zwift. I've used Zwift for so many other things. Actually, only today I stopped my ride because I was so cold outside and came in and finished my intervals on Zwift. And I was using the volcano circuit to kind of test myself and push myself and keep myself going during my intervals. And I use it all throughout winter. I use it for sponsor rides with my team. Like you said, with the cappuccino ride, that was the first time I'd done a really sociable ride. And that was really interesting and added another...
It wasn't sociable. It was a proper race.
Well, sociable for me.
I could barely drink my cappuccino. I mean, no, I think the week we rode the Innsbruck circuit, you were ripping it up that week. You were riding pretty fast, I think. Am I right? Or was that another week?
I'm going to have to blame Tom Wally here. And, you know, he was just leading up the climb and I was just sitting on his wheel and, you know, taking it easy in his draft. But, you know, why not make Lionel suffer if you've got the opportunity?
Well, that was what was motivating us all. Absolutely. But I hope we do it again this winter, because one of the great things about it was we all live quite far apart. You know, we couldn't go out for a ride even if we wanted to. And so it's a great way of getting together with people who live sometimes even in different countries, you know, feeling like you are doing a group ride with them and catching up with them. So I hope we can resurrect the cappuccino ride this winter.
Definitely. I think using Zwift in combination with Discord was something that was a bit of a revelation for me as well, because it added this extra social dimension to Zwift that I've never had before, and it really did make the time go a lot faster and make it feel like I was riding with people when I wouldn't have been able to ride with anyone outside otherwise.
Louis Menkes, rider, NTT Pro Cycling. You're an African rider, obviously. How big a blow would it be for African cycling if the team didn't carry on?
Yeah, it'll definitely be a setback, and I'm still just hoping maybe someone comes and rescues it. So yeah, but definitely it would make it a bit harder for African riders, because it was the team with the majority of guys in World Tour. So yeah, it's a shame.
Does it put pressure on, or do you feel that anything you can do here to, I guess, put the team in the headlines might help?
Yeah, I think the results always help. So when you're riding well, then there's always a lot of support. So yeah, I think that's what we're trying to do, and just hopefully we have the legs to show it.
I mean, we've ultimately tried to build the sport of cycling across the African continent. I mean, why should Africa, with 1.3 billion people in it, not be in the sport of cycling? And I think what we've done is we've opened that door. We've opened the door to the possibilities of African riders, and that their colorful flags should be seen on the start lists of of many races. And, you know, maybe our ambitions were really bold and we, you know, we had high hopes and big dreams that we could move the dial faster than we have. But, you know, the amount of people that are riding bicycles across the African continent now because of this team's success, and people want to aspire to be a part of it. But also, you know, the opening of the eyes of the individual that just rides to school that now has a bicycle to give them some independence, some freedom, some hope, just to be mobile and get to school. And then realizing that actually this is a tool that I could potentially earn a living from, could become a professional on. That's the stuff that we do. And I think that's the beautiful thing when you, you know, when you see the light in someone's eyes, you know, once they've received something that is so special that they've worked for, because of course, Quebec is a work to earn model. You know, they don't just, it's not a gift, it's not a handout, it's a hand up that we give the individuals that receive these Quebec bicycles. It's the most amazing day when someone receives a bike for the first time. We just take that for granted. Our kids, our friends or whatever, in the cities across Europe and the world, you know, bicycles are fairly common. But, you know, when you see it in the hands of the beholders of these individuals, it's the most beautiful thing. And then, of course, you know, if we, with the heroes that we've created as the Africans on at the highest level in the world of cycling, you know, it's really meaningful, and it's absolutely necessary and needed. And I think that's the unit that we've kind of brought to cycling. And, you know, that first 2013 Milan San Remo, when we were just this, you know, team wet behind the ears, just so happy to be racing at the highest level with our little infrastructure, our one little bus, two cars, you know, we had nothing. Our riders drove from Lucca, you know, to Milan, and you know, there was nobody was flying. The riders drove everywhere to every single race. I mean, that's unheard of really in cycling. Well, maybe through the pandemic we were driving everywhere, but you know, and to then win it with Gerald Chilek, with Songezo Jim, you know, there on the freezing start line and freezing throughout the race, you know, that's the race that, you know, that absolutely is top of mind. And then of course, as we built through into 2014, riding our first Grand Tour, the Vuelta a España, and just rocking our first team time trial on the first stage as a team with, you know, with many African riders in it, and just getting through our first Grand Tour with every single one of our riders, and which was a big goal for us. I mean, those were the things that really motivated us. Let's get through our first Grand Tour, not losing anybody, and looking after each other, creating that connected one kind of one team environment, and just the riders learning from each other's cultures and getting to understand each other. You know, those are the things that when you're on tour become really, really special. And then of course, ultimately, you know, Steve Cummings winning on Mandela Day in the 2015 Tour de France was epic, and was one of the most beautiful memories that'll stay with him forever. And of course, it was a big moment in our team. And then all the success since then has been amazing. You know, wearing leaders' jerseys in the Grand Tours, winning stages has always been a big deal. We were always hoping to develop that African rider to focus on the general classification to try and build that. You know, we've come short in that area, which was something that was a big part of our focus. And so then we, you know, in the interim, while we were trying to get that individual, you know, ready and up to standard, we, you know, we just focused on being aggressive, opportunistic, and trying to win stages. And sometimes we, you know, we went a bit off track, but I mean, ultimately we've had some amazing success as a team. I mean, we are a team that races for a charity, but we're not a charity team. You know, we're a high performance, you know, race team that has leveraged technology to, you know, to make better decisions. And so that's why our technology partners have really got a huge amount of value out of us, because we've really leveraged and abused data and to try and understand ourselves better. But, you know, victories are needed and consistency is important. I mean, there are some super teams in cycling now that are doing incredibly well, that are very strong and dominant, you know. And of course, the Tour de France is for a team like ours that comes from Africa, and you know, it's a bit like the American teams, Australian teams. The Tour de France was always something really big because it's big in those countries, whereas in Europe you've got the classics and you've got all of the other events that are also significant, and the Tour de France is seen as a big event, of course, but it's not kind of the be all and end all, whereas, you know, from where we come, it has always been a big deal. And I think that's where organizations have looked at it, you know, and partners of ours have looked at it and said that, you know, we really need to do significant things, you know, in those 3 weeks, normally in July. Yes, it is tough, but the sport has changed. Lots of younger riders coming through, and that gives me massive hope, you know, because if you think of the young generation of riders coming through, you know, from the African continent particularly, you know, and they look now and see, you know, early 20s to mid 20-year-old riders that are doing so well. And I think there is a changing of the guard, and that's exciting for me. There's lots of hope and possibilities now for us to, you know, with the riders that we have and that we are looking to into the future to do significant things. So that's a real positive coming forward. I'm still the 100% owner of this team, so there hasn't been any change. We're all looking for partners to move forward, but I mean, this has been a crazy year. So of course, just through this whole pandemic and the COVID-19 stuff, you know, that none of that happened. So at this point in time, yeah, we're 100% focused on trying to look for new partners, and that's ultimately my focus right now. You know, in the end, we've got amazing people. You know, the people in this organization are like family to us, and so for me, it would be first prize is to continue as we are, and to find a partner and continue as our World Tour team, and support all of the people that have jobs on this team and that work in cycling, crazy circus that travels around the world all the time, and people commit to each other. So that would be ultimately, you know, a great thing if we can continue that. You know, there are opportunities to do things with other teams, no question. And if for sure, we're looking at that. You know, we want to still give every, you know, we still want to maintain our World Tour license and the status in the first division of World Cycling. So those are all options. But right now we've got lots of interest, and we're just hoping that we can close something in the time needed to register for 2021. You know, we care about the individuals, riders and staff in this team. And so we've literally basically said to them, you know, if you can't find something, and if there is something, you know, an opportunity for you to find another job, then by all means, please do. To secure your future. I mean, they all have families and people that they support as well, staff and riders. So, you know, so that was it's a tough view, because we, you know, a lot of them we really care about and we'd love to keep. And, you know, often you lose your good staff. And then, but there's been many staff that are incredibly loyal, and they said, Doug, you know, we believe in you and that you'll find something and we're committed to you. So on both fronts, it's really tough, because you've got that responsibility. And, but yes, we have, you know, obviously given them our riders and staff the opportunity to find other jobs elsewhere, but we hope we can, you know, we can continue as our team. And I am confident, absolutely, that one of the opportunities that we're working on will come through. Our team, I'm a firm believer that good things happen to good people, and I do believe that a team like ours needs to be in cycling. If it all, you know, falls down the toilet, I think, for whatever reason, you know, we still got our continental team in Italy that has got many African riders in it. We will continue that. And then we will continue to offer opportunities for African riders through that team, and then try and build it up again, potentially to a Pro Conti team, and then see where that ends up. But yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm here because I love the sport, and I'm passionate about what we've done and how we've supported Quebec, etc. So you won't see me disappear, that's for sure.